Welcome to Middle Age Can Be Your Best Age, the show designed to help make middle age your prime time of life by defying the notion that once you reach 40, 50, or even 60 years old, your crowning achievements are all behind you. Regardless of whether you're just approaching 40 or are firmly entrenched in your middle years, it's time to launch your very own personal journey toward a joyful and purpose-filled second half of life. Each week, host Roy Richards, an expert on midlife renewal and author of A Midlife Challenge, Wake Up, will discuss the challenges common to middle age and help guide you to a brighter tomorrow. Now, here's Roy.
Well, hello and welcome to our weekly broadcast of Middle Age Can Be Your Best Age. And today we're going to continue our series of programs on re-energizing your life at middle age. And today we're going to tackle a major energy drainer, and it does a lot more than just drain your energy, and that's stress. You know, 3 weeks ago I mentioned my friend's PENS formula, that's P-E-N-S, for re-energizing your mind and body. And the four letters are P for prayer, exercise is the E, N for nutrition, and S for sleep. And 2 weeks ago, I had a guest, Jay Waterman, a noted sleepologist, who talked about the importance of a good night's sleep. And on last week's program, we talked to Rico Cavalia about exercise and nutrition. And this week, I'd like to talk about the fourth crucial element of renewal, and that's prayer. And our program is not designed for those of one particular religious persuasion. And I will define prayer in a broad context of making connection with a divine presence, of seeking guidance from a power higher and greater than oneself. And call it God or the universal consciousness or whatever you might define it as. And quite frankly, it makes no sense to attempt renewal at middle age, seeking a peaceful, joyful, and productive second half based solely upon our own internal resources. And I know from personal experience, relying solely on myself in a difficult or a painful situation almost always leads to increased stress and fear, and usually to failure and disappointment as well. In turn, stress and fear produce all sorts of health problems, from minor aches and pains to major life-threatening events like heart attacks, strokes, and cancer. And our guest today estimates that 70 to 90% of all doctor visits are stress-related, and he's here to tell us how we can overcome this stress. Our guest is Donald Mann. He's a scientist, a business growth expert, and a lay minister, and he's served in senior management positions in banking and chemical industries, and he's currently president and CEO of Right Man Consulting and author of the new book, Okay, God, Now What? Activating His Ancient Secrets for Success. Hello, Don, and welcome to our program.
Oh, hello, Roy. Thank you for having me. I really am glad you called me.
Well, as a scientist by background, please explain why so many of us are worried sick.
Well, actually, the processes are very predictable based on what's going on. You quoted the statistic that I had of 70 to 90% of doctor's visits are due to stress in one way or the other, and that's not my statistic. That comes right out from the CDC and the National Institute of Health.
Oh, I see.
Based on the medical standards are is that we as a nation are continually operating in stress, which is really fear, because stress is a response to fear, the automatic fear of flight or fight response in our neural system. And what that does is it causes our neural system to trigger cortisol and other materials that actually stresses our entire body. And when we don't do in the run to flight, we don't burn it off, it acts as poisons to our system.
Yeah, I guess, you know, fear is good if you're afraid of something that, like a fire, that you causes you to run and get out of. But there's all this unfounded fear that we're constantly surrounding ourselves with, fear of the future, fear of what losing our job, or fear of a breakup of a relationship, or all those kind of things that that build up and generate this stress in our bodies. It isn't a good kind of fear, I guess.
No, as a matter of fact, you left out one great big source of fear, and that's called advertising.
Yeah.
The emotional triggers to get us to go actually buy something are usually have in them a very strong component of fear, because you feel you're missing something, you're inadequate, you're unable, you're not responsive. if you don't go buy or do this particular thing. And while it doesn't seem like a lot at the time, it works on you over time. And the only defense for all of this fear that's inundating our lives is a good, strong self-image.
Yeah.
And you really have two levels of self-image that you can relate to. The first one is on the best good ideas you know. Go find you a book of wisdom of some kind and establish those good ideas. Those are better than nothing. But the greatest one is to put your back up against the rock called God and go use the scriptures for that kind of thing to build your self-identity. That's where the most power is found.
Yes, that's for sure. And when you think about it, what specific things can you do to clear up these poorly performing neurons? You mentioned one, of course, is build a foundation based upon scriptures or other words of wisdom. But just how do we go about that as a practical matter to reduce stress in our everyday lives?
Okay, I'm going to tell you how I did it, particularly when I got really the opportunity to for the source material for the book, Okay, God, Now What? This was back a number of years ago when I was feeling good. Life was on top of the world. Things were going great. My boss called me into the office in the morning right there, and I walked in happy and came out numb. And as I walked down the hallway, another vice president met me and said, "Better men than you have tried to turn that plan around. They failed. So long, have a good life."
that's real reassuring.
Yeah, that was really something else. And so the problem was it was a high technology. It was all scientists and engineers.
Yeah.
And they would get these words. They were locked into fear with anger, denial, and fault finding.
Oh, I see. Yeah.
And so even though they were working on things, they couldn't get out because when you get into fear, your creativity goes down the drain.
Yeah, that's for sure.
Okay, so my job was to go in there and not trigger them into any more fear, but actually get them to face the facts, to move into creativity and own the problem to fix it. And whatever I did, I couldn't throw them into any more limiting fear. And I kind of knew that intuitively from my past experience. But what it really did was drove me to my knees.
Oh.
Thousands of people depended upon solving this. Not only the families of the people in the town, but all the suppliers. There were literally tens of thousands of people who were related to this whole situation. And I had to fix it, and it absolutely drove me to my knees. It was stress of the biggest kind. I was going to be on the road traveling a lot all the time. And so what I ended up doing, really by habit, was started working on how to renew my mind within the strength of the scriptures and worked for a period of time. And you know what? That same group of individuals, in 6 years, we turned around from losing money to $500 million in sales with the same people.
Yeah, that's but you mentioned something that really struck home to me. Rather than rushing into the problem willy-nilly, you took time aside to examine yourself and to build that foundation within, the strength within, so that you could attack the problem. I think so many people, you know, they out of fear of a situation, they just grasp at straws, in other words, trying to solve it without really building that inner strength first.
Well, I had actually developed a habit pattern, Roy, of over the years of, you know, praying in the morning for my events in the day and then reading scriptures throughout the day. And as I got to this situation, I just started digging more into the scriptures. And as I did, what I realized later, I didn't realize it at the time, and what took me over 15 years to develop, I put into the program and code, Okay, God, Now What, was how to build your self-identity in Christ in such a way that you can face anything from a position of strength and help, because you know you've got God to help you. Other than that, you're scrambling around for the best ideas running around, but they're, you know, it's just the best ideas, just not the strength of the universe.
Yeah, and the strength of one's own personality or one's own knowledge, however knowledgeable that person is certainly a lot less than the strength of the universe and of an eternal God. So that it's definitely worthwhile going beyond yourself.
Oh, absolutely. One of the things that, for example, there was a lady named Linda who was in clinical depression. So you talk about old middle-age struggle. She was in clinical depression. She was on. She was actually addicted to psychotropic drugs.
Oh.
And she was dangerous to be around. You could walk in 1 minute, she'd be happy. The next minute, she'd go off to raging tears. The next minute, she'd be into raging anger.
Wow.
And so I walked in and gave her a copy of the book, and I really thought that I was going to get it thrown right back at me.
Yeah, I duck.
Yeah, you know, so she grabbed it. No, she put it on the table, and she started to look at it. And, you know, most of us run our lives on what I call best guess assumptions. We've run our life through a series of events, and we've sort of made what we thought at the time were solid logical decisions, But a lot of them aren't based on truth. They're based on just the prevailing thoughts or moments at the time. For
yeah.
example, you know, as a little kid, if you always get a good grade in a test when you wear a red shirt, what do you wear next time you go to take a test?
Probably a red shirt.
Right. You don't study, but you wear the red shirt, you know, and so that we make a lot of best guess assumptions like that. And as Linda started to read the book and started getting into the first part of it, understanding the need to renew our mind, she started to see that a lot of her best guess assumptions weren't very good.
Yeah.
And she started replacing them with solid Bible truth. Well, in the matter of a course of time, Linda started to get straight. She started to do the text reading part. Then she'd read the affirmation. She really loved affirmation.
Yeah.
C, where it talks about strength in God. And the fruit of that was that in a short amount of time, I think about 9 months for her, it was that she came off the drugs. Her mind started to get straight. She will tell you that the reason that it all happened was she did the program and, okay, God, now what? To put herself, how to functionally renew the mind. And this is part of the secret. One of the things that's happened in modern age is we've discovered more how the brain works, how it operates. And you alluded to her a little earlier about the neurons. When you operate mostly or have a thought process based on fear of any kind, small
yeah.
fear or large fear, the neuron that grows to support that, because you've done that as a habit,
yeah.
which most of we live, 95% of our life is lived by habits, so everything we do is based on one of these sorts of things. Fear-based neurons actually look like Swiss cheese on the cell wall structure. So every time you think that thought, no matter how habitual it is, it actually leaks out materials into the bloodstream from the cell wall and poisons your system.
Wow.
So as you operate in things like worry and that sort of thing, the statement, worried yourself sick, is actually true on several different levels to your body.
Yeah. Yeah,
whereas
yeah.
a healthy neuron, a realistic, you know, I've got a problem, here's what we're going to do, get some wisdom how to fix it, start working on it, those kinds of neurons are solid. They don't
yeah.
leak when you think
yeah.
of them. So that they bring you great health in the process. And so the effect is going on all the time. What happens to us, particularly people in middle age, is you've lived a lifetime where your neurons are killing you every time you think those kinds of thoughts.
Yeah, you mentioned that 95%. You also mentioned in your book on your website that 95% of our lives are lived through our subconscious mind, and that we don't even realize that we're being directed by fear-based thinking that
No, they, matter of fact,
that's the
one of the recent discoveries of science, and that's what they've used that in advertising to get you to trigger into the fear, or they call the buying response, in such a way that you aren't aware that you're doing. You just have to have it. Well, that attitude of having to have it is almost like a drug addiction. It's
yes,
definitely a
it
fear
is.
Response. If I don't get this, I'm going to be in trouble, kind of thing. And what that's doing is building a continual flow of leaky neurons. That every time you think those thoughts, even though for satisfaction and that kind of basis, then it also causes your body to be damaged by the process. What's amazing is it's not only do they say that 95% of all doctor visits are a function of stress in the body, but diabetes, cancer, liver problems, vision problems,
yeah.
all kinds of things are based on the accumulated effects of this fear response going on in your lifestyle.
Yeah, that was interesting. In your promotional material, you talk about how doctor visits tend to go up from 2 to 6 months after a presidential election. Why exactly is that?
Well, it's because of really two things that are going on. First of all, in America, you know, we're basically 51-49% split in the vote.
Yeah.
So no matter what happens, half the people are going to be unhappy and stressed out by the results of the election.
Yeah.
And if your response isn't turning to God, know how to work with him in prayer and confidence and trust to solve problems, then you're going to respond with fear. That builds up as an even greater flow of fear in your life, and that ends up damaging your body, your system, and it shows up in increased colds,
yeah.
Sickness, tiredness, weakness.
And you know, when you think about it, it's so ridiculous that you and I, personal lives, are really not that directly impacted by whether Barack Obama or Mitt Romney is president. It's not going to really, you know, maybe they do a couple policies that directly impact you, but sitting around getting all stressed out and because your guy lost doesn't make a heck of a lot of sense.
No, as a matter of fact, the answer for that, God says in the scriptures to pray for your government, no matter who it is,
yeah,
for God's wisdom to work in it. And you know, prayer, God does answer prayer.
Yeah.
And as you learn how to build your self-identity based on what the work that Jesus accomplished through the cross, as that comes in, I have a friend of mine who came back from Iraq, and is a soldier. He was, had done fine in the military. When he came back from Iraq, he his name is Jesse, and he lives up in Connecticut. Mm-hmm. And he came back and he got into sales, and things weren't going too well. He wasn't making sales. Things weren't working right. Of course, there was stress in the family, and he was in trouble. Now, he'd been a minister all of his life. And when I showed him the book and he started to look at it, he said he'd never seen such practical applications of Scripture, how to make it fit into your life. And then when he saw how the science of the mind works into it, he got all excited about that.
And that's the key, is to make that Scripture practical and actually enter into your life, build that base that so that you can apply it rather than just you know, go to church on Sunday and listen to it.
Right. So what he did was the program that I developed out of you know, out of my struggles with that company and others since then, and he took that and started doing the program. And he said, here's what happened to him after about 2 months of doing the program. He said, prior to that, every time something came along that was wrong, it was like a wind, or it was a piece of paper that threw me up against the wall, threw me into the fence, threw me into the bushes. Yeah. All of a sudden, I started to feel like I was a flag attached to a firm flagpole. The winds may come.
I love that that example.
Yeah, well, when he first told it to him, I thought how great that was. And that was all because he did the difference is this. In order to build your self-identity, you need to do an intentional program every day. You could work into it over time.
Yeah.
And as you do, the hard news about it is this. You're not going to change your lifestyle in any kind of habit until you work on it 2 to 6 hours a day for 90 days minimum.
Yeah, tell us, you mentioned 21 days, 40 days, and 90 days, and it has some scientific basis for that. What is? Tell us about those 21, 40, and 90 days.
Okay, what happens is this. In the 21 days, if you start doing repeating the information that's, say, for example, scriptures, you start putting yourself under some neural pressure 2 to 6 hours a day. You start to build a neural connection, like the habits are formed in 21 days.
Yeah,
that happens in 21 days. What happens next is your thinking process is it takes an additional number of days, up to a total of 40, for you to integrate that new habit into your thought processes. That's all fine and good, and a lot of resolutions work that way. The problem is this. If you don't replace the things you were doing before, reassign emotions and attitudes to them, they're going to fight you the entire time.
Yeah.
So you continue on doing it for 90 days, and that's when you finally reassign the emotions and attitudes to your old practices. Athletes discover this all the time when they're trying to do this, that their old bad habits takes at least 90 days to get them so they no longer dominate in the middle of a game, because what will happen is you may do the first two movements right, but then the third movement will be back to your old habit pattern.
Yeah, you gotta get that. You gotta subordinate that old negative thought that keeps coming up.
And the way you do it is that the process of mind renewing is one that reassigns. Because see, the memories of what you did never go away, but the emotions and attitudes attached to them basically go from this is trustworthy to this is not trustworthy. I can count on this. I don't want what this does.
Yeah.
And so that takes the 90 days to change the old ones. And what's so marvelous about this is if you build yourself on positive godly affirmations, that the old leaky neurons that you lived your life by get healed into right neurons. The cell walls get closed up because you have now emotions are changed to them, and you assign them the negative things that they really are, and you start building and operating on the positive things in life that bring you success and health.
Yeah, you know, another thing that I really appreciated from your website was that you know, among evangelicals, we often hear the phrase born again or saved, and they can name a particular date and time when they were saved. But in practical, and I deal with that in my book, I have a chapter on whether that the secular equivalent of that can work, whether you can have an instantaneous inspiration change immediately. But as your book points out, you know, that's just the first step, and there's a lot of hard work ahead through scriptures if you're following that method, but you have to keep at it for a period of time to replace those old neurons, and it's not just an instantaneous for most people, I wouldn't think.
No, it is this, because the biology sets it up this way. God takes credit for it, but here's the deal. You are always writing something on your heart all the time.
Yeah.
You are always building new neural connections or establishing and maintaining old ones. So this is not about a new process. This is about discovering a process and intentionally making it work for you.
Yeah, I know in Christian teaching we constantly, are told to constantly grow in knowledge and understanding through prayer, affirmation, Bible study, and community worship. And we don't just, have an instantaneous change and just let it lie there. I also like the way you talk about working with God rather than just depending on God to do all the work. Because I think, obviously you have to continually reach out and move forward in improving your own life, not just depend on an eternal power to do it.
Well, absolutely. We've been commanded to renew our mind, to study ourselves, show ourselves approved, to rather than being listening and despondent to the world, sing yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. There are continually commands in the scriptures that really in our current understanding or our past understanding did make a lot of sense. Why do I keep doing this? Well, now we understand why it works. As you continually take the same material, work with it for 90 days, repeating it 2 to 6 hours a day, that will write it onto your heart and come out in changing in behavior and actions. And what's really cool about this is there's a thing called keystone habits. Once you do one thing, other things start to change. It's like when people start to do an exercise program, they all of a sudden start to eat better. That's just an automatic effect of doing an exercise program. And the same way with the affirmations becomes a keystone habits, all other kinds of things change for people. In the case of Jesse, as I was telling you about, the Iraq war veteran who came back and wasn't doing too well, he says he started to get confidence in his gut. He started to feel different. All of a sudden, he started treating people differently. His sales went up. Of course, his marriage at home, he started treating his wife and children differently and better. Things went all around, and he says, what's really exciting is I'm making money and in love. It's the best world I've ever had.
Yeah, that sounds a lot, going way back to Norman Vincent Peale and the power of positive thinking, and that there's a lot of truth to that, it's so self-fulfilling if you really believe deep down and that things are going to get better and you start acting and behaving like that and you have faith that there's a power beyond you helping you to achieve what you're looking to achieve. That's like what we constantly hear, the law of attraction, that attracts good things into your life, but there's definitely something to that, I think.
Well, that's part of what they discover is the hard biology and science of it, so that the program that I have written in OK God Now What is a much more efficient program than the one it took me 15 years to develop. And so that you can get faster. That's why we talk about you can get results within 90 days that are really dramatic for yourself and not only put yourself on a new path because you keep working with the same material, the definite, your identity in Christ strict scriptures that form the basis of your life, so that no matter what happens, including advertisements and the pressures of the world and the pressures of job and family and life, you come at it from a different place. You're no longer running scared. You now have a solid basis, and it's not resistance, I'm not moving. It's, okay, where can I find ways to exercise love and help people better? How can I do things better for others?
You've got that flagpole sticking in the ground, keeping you firmly implanted. So all these winds of the current change in culture and the election and all these other kind of things and advertising are not going to move you from that base.
Now, what's amazing is that people who've done with the program and OK God Now What, I have a young man in the Bahamas who graduated from school as a computer scientist and couldn't find a job. He was living with his sister, and she got hold of the book, and she said, you aren't eating until you read this. She was pretty strong about it. And
I hope he's a fast reader.
Well, she fed him while he was reading it, but she kept up on him. And he started to read it. And what he loved was the scientific and technical stuff that's in there, explains how it works, how these processes, while the commands and what to do have always been in the Bible, the understanding is now coming through modern science, why it works, how it works.
Yeah, that's wonderful, the way we can merge modern science with the ancient religions. And they do fit together, and they make sense, even though, these people were talking 2,000, 3,000 years ago. It's proven that, and more, there's proof that what they said is very relevant for today.
Right. That's what's amazing is that scientists at all levels read the Bible, particularly the Bible, because it has so many things that they discover that are core principle scientific facts about how the universe works, how we individuals work. And what we're doing, and this kid Anton, you started to read the book, you especially started to see how God, the scripture says in the affirmation, God gives you power to create wealth. And he started to see that what he needed to do is see how to create wealth. And so eventually he started his own computer company there in the Bahamas. He started actually hiring employees, and life was better. The other part was so good was he started to see the power of God in his life. He started praying for people, starting to see miracles happen. And he was happy in all regards. And, of course, his sister started now to introduce him to some of her friends so he could have a few girlfriends to work with. So Anton seems to be doing very well in the Bahamas right now. I haven't heard from him lately. But I suspect he's got a fiance, if not already married now.
Yeah, I suspect so. Well, how can people get your book, Okay, God, Now What? What's the best way to get that?
The best way to get the book is to go to the website by the same title, okgodnowwhat.com, okay. And go to the website. And what we have right there is, because getting in the habit of disciplines of intentional mind renewing is something that people don't do on purpose. They do it all the time accidentally, but they don't do it on purpose. So we have a list of top 10 affirmations. It's actually the first affirmation broken into 10 easy steps. So you can start work with those. There's instructions how to do it, how to follow it. So you just go to okgodnowwhat.com, get the free list of top 10, start working with it. And if you want the book right away, you can connect there to get the book.
Okay.
It's available at all fine places, places where fine books are sold, at Amazon and Borders and other places. Was it Barnes and Noble, I guess.
I don't think Borders is around anymore.
Borders is not around anymore, and all the different internet places, iBooks and all that.
Yeah.
It's available all kinds of places, and we actually have people reading it from all around the world.
Well, that definitely, prayer or looking outside oneself is definitely part of the formula for re-energizing and renewing your life at midstream, and I definitely would encourage you to go to Don's website of www.okgodnowwhat.com. And thank you so much for joining us today, Donald. It's been a most enlightening and informative interview. And thank you so much, and best of luck on your book and converting people and getting them in there to really change their lives by looking outside themselves and building that strong central foundation that we all need in our lives.
Right. I want to thank you very much. And without a doubt, why would you look inside when you're confused?
Yeah, that's for sure. Because there's only more confusion.
Right. Inside. You're not going to get much direction out of that. So looking to the scriptures is the absolute greatest resource on the planet. And what we do is show you how to do that most efficiently, so in the shortest amount of time you can get the most results to have your life stabilize and, God bless them all, heal those leaky neurons and get your thinking right so that you've got a strong self-identity, aren't driven by fear everywhere you go.
Yep, and you'll reduce your medical expenses while you're doing it.
Absolutely.
And thank you so much for joining us, Don.
Oh, thank you very much, Roy. Have a great day.
Well, in this segment, we'll talk about effective alternatives to traditional treatment of common middle-age ailments. For minor aches and pains, we usually pop a pill, aspirin or Tylenol. For a good night's sleep, maybe a sleeping pill. For a stomach ache, an antacid. Or for if we have a chronic condition or an illness, we obviously like high blood pressure or something, we'll see our physician, who probably puts us on conventional medication. The problem, as today's guest points out, is some of these medications, both over-the-counter or prescription, may have harmful side effects that could make the problem worse, and they attack the symptoms but do nothing to heal the underlying condition. Our guests ask, is it possible that American baby boomers and younger generations have been led down a path to poor health by the U.S. medical establishment? Not to be cynical, but let's face it, if we all practiced healthy lifestyles and got sick less, doctors and drug companies would make a lot less money. Here's some scary facts, something that we can all look forward to. The average person over age 55 is on 8 or more prescription drugs at any one time, and I'm pretty proud that I'm only on 2, so give me a cheer. And based on a 2006 study, a 65-year-old couple retiring today will need an average $200,000 set aside to pay for medical costs during their retirement, and that's a pretty scary number when you think about it. The question is, are we getting our money's worth? The fact is, the U.S. has by far the highest per capita use of conventional medicines. drug costs in the U.S. are higher than anywhere else in the world, and we consume 40% of all the drugs produced in the world per the World Health Organization. But the U.S. ranks 42nd in the world in average life expectancy. And my guest today states that over-reliance on medications is at the core of America's health crisis. And our guest is Dr. Michael T. Murray. He's widely regarded as one of the top experts on natural medicine. He's an educator, lecturer, researcher, and health food industry consultant, and he's author of more than 30 books, including the one we'll talk about today, What the Drug Companies Won't Tell You and Your Doctor Doesn't Know. Hello, Dr. Murray, and welcome to Middle Age Can Be Your Best Age.
Oh, it's my pleasure.
To begin, I notice that your designation is ND as in natural rather than MD as in medicine. Please explain the difference. What is this naturopathic medicine as opposed to conventional medicine?
Okay, I'm a primary care physician that's been educated on the use of diet, lifestyle modification, attitude adjustment, and the proper use of dietary and herbal supplements to promote health and wellness. I'm a graduate of Bastyr University in Seattle, Washington, and I'm licensed in the state of Washington as well as where I live now, Arizona. To diagnose and treat, I can write prescriptions for drugs, but I choose to focus on these natural approaches to promoting health and wellness.
Well, are there a lot of NDs out there? That's kind of a new designation to me.
It's a profession that's been around over 100 years, and naturopaths are licensed in 17 states now, and in many of the states they have full prescription rights, insurance equality, and a great law. I think there's probably close to 3,000 naturopaths in the country.
Oh, I see. Well, what's the difference between disease management, which you say is what conventional doctors tend to do, and effective health care, and how has public policy taken health care virtually out of our system?
Well, I think that our whole system's kind of predicated on focusing on relief of symptoms and, covering up these symptoms with drugs in most cases. And if we look at one of the most common health conditions around, especially in baby boomers and beyond, of osteoarthritis, which is the most common form of arthritis, it's a great example of contrasting the difference between a health promotion and wellness and curative approach versus a drug approach. The standard drugs used in the treatment of osteoarthritis are drugs like aspirin, ibuprofen, and Celebrex. Collectively, these are called non-steroidal anti-inflammatory drugs. Now, osteoarthritis is characterized by a degeneration of cartilage. Here's where there are significant problems with these drugs. First, these drugs, the aspirin and ibuprofen, cause ulcers, and over 7,000 people die each year as a result of ulcers caused by these drugs. So they developed a whole new line of drugs called the COX-2 inhibitors that include not only Celebrex but also Vioxx and Bextra. These drugs came with even more problems. They actually increased the risk of developing a heart attack. More Americans have taken these drugs for osteoarthritis and lost their lives than Americans who got killed in Vietnam. Over 60,000
wow.
people have taken these drugs and died as a consequence. And if we look at the way these drugs work, we start to get a clue as to how irrational they are. Sure, they work by blocking enzymes that produce pain-causing and inflammatory-causing compounds.
Yeah.
But they also inhibit the repair of cartilage. They inhibit enzymes that build cartilage components. So it's little wonder that when people start taking these drugs, they actually see an acceleration of their joint destruction. So these drugs make absolutely zero sense. They're totally irrational, and yet that's the common medical practice. What makes more sense is to give the body the tools it needs to be healthy. And there are a number of natural compounds that have been shown in double-blind, placebo-controlled studies. Some of these studies not only compared to a placebo, but compared these natural products to standard drugs. And what the studies show is that substances like glucosamine, sulfate, MSM, various enzyme preparations, niacinamide, and a number of other compounds work better than the drugs. And the reason they work better is not because they suppress the symptoms, but rather they help the cartilage cells build more cartilage. If you build more cartilage, you're going to have relief of symptoms by curing the issue. So it's really a great example of the difference between addressing the disease versus promoting health.
Yeah, you also mentioned how sleeping pills can actually deprive us of the healing sleep we need.
Yeah, people need to go to my website. It's drmurray.com. It's either Dr. Murray or DrMurray, drmurray.com. If they sign up for my free email newsletter, they get access to a book I wrote on stress, anxiety, and insomnia. They'll get a PDF version of this book. Now, the reason why I'm putting this book out there for free is I want people to get the information. People need to wake up. These sleeping pills are actually killing them. Studies have shown that when people start taking these sleeping pills, they dramatically reduce their life expectancy. These drugs are responsible for over 500,000 premature deaths in the United States each year. They also increase the risk of developing dementia by 300%. We all have seen that, right? We've had friends, family members that started taking these drugs because they don't sleep well, and all of a sudden we notice that they're mentally just not there. They're not functioning as well as they were in the past.
Yeah, I can see how that, the shallow kind of sleep they'd induce, or maybe it's a real deep sleep. I don't know what neither would be very effective, I wouldn't think, in regenerating the tools you need and the neurons and everything you need to thrive the next day.
You got it right. The problem with the drugs is they don't allow us to achieve those deeper levels of sleep. So we need those really deep levels of sleep to be fully recharged. And if we're not seeing our brain cells, being these batteries being fully recharged, then the brain cell becomes more susceptible to damage. And degenerative changes in the brain, that leads to dementia, it leads to Parkinson's disease, it leads to poor cognition and mental function, poor memory. So it's little wonder that we see these side effects when people start taking these drugs. These drugs also increase the risk of developing any form of cancer by 35%. They increase the risk of depression. You know, there's a big problem with these drugs, and yet here's the sad fact. 12.5% of the adult population in the United States regularly take these sleeping pills.
Wow.
Dosages as few as 18 pills per year are associated with significant increased risk for early death, cancer, dementia.
Not a lot.
So, we got to get people off these drugs. And this book, again, it's free. It's at my website, drmurray.com. People can download the book, and if they're just interested in getting a good night's sleep, they can go right to that chapter. I highlight all these studies. I'm just the messenger. There have been 19 very well population-based studies that have shown this connection between these sleeping pills, not just the older drugs like Valium, but also the newer drugs like Lunesta, Halcyon, Ambien. And the research is conclusive. These drugs are very dangerous, and they're overprescribed, and there are better approaches to improving our ability to get a good night's sleep.
Well, what are the three most important questions that you or I should ask whenever a doctor wants to put us on a drug or we read or see an ad about a drug that sounds promising for a condition we may have?
Well, I think people really have to investigate whether they're taking a drug or a natural product. They have to weigh the benefits versus the risks. And, I get questions from friends and family all the time about, hey, should I be taking this drug? And, in most cases, the answer is a definitive no. And I'm just shocked that the doctor would even consider prescribing the drug. I think we're kind of easing out of the era where physicians were demigods and we didn't question them. We have to view them more as coaches and advisors, but we have to take personal responsibility for our health. And there are a lot of decisions that we make on a daily basis that play a huge role in our overall health. What we choose to eat, what we choose to focus on, the lifestyle that we choose to lead, and how we support our body with proper nutritional supplementation. Those are areas that we have control.
It's so key that, like you say, obviously you don't want to self-diagnose when you have a problem. You need a coach or a teacher or somebody that you can go to, which is what the position should be. But ultimately, you should be CEO of yourself and make the decisions based on knowledge and consultation and everything else. But well, here's a $64,000 question for me. What alternatives do I, you know, a person of middle age like me, if I go to the doctor and he says, you have high blood pressure and we're going to put you on XYZ medicine or whatever, how would I don't know whether I'd find an ND in the phone book or how I would get a hold of the information I need. I know your book that we're talking about is one source of it. But
Well, yes, it's always a good idea to consult a naturopathic physician. People can go to naturopathic.org, or they can just go to my website and click on the link section, and it'll take them to a site where they can find a local naturopathic doctor in their area. I would encourage them to read up on their condition by going to my website or getting one of my books. I've just updated the Encyclopedia of Natural Medicine. And in this book, if you go to the high blood pressure chapter, I think you'd be just you'd be really impressed with what you can do naturally to get that blood pressure down. There's a lot that can be done. One thing that is very important, anyone who has high blood pressure, they need to be screened for heavy metal toxicity, lead, mercury, arsenic, cadmium. This is all in the book. It tells you how to do it. You can go to your doctor, get a hair mineral analysis. There are also hair mineral analysis kits. What we're really concerned about are the levels of these toxic minerals, because these metals, they reside in our fatty tissues, including our kidneys, and when they get incorporated into our kidneys, they're associated with higher blood pressure. So, the biggest factor for most people to help them get their blood pressure down is helping them lose weight.
Yeah.
And in the book, it explains what people can do safely and effectively and nearly effortlessly to achieve their ideal body weight. But there's also, I've seen this over and over again. I just had a patient that this was a 44-year-old woman that was, she's 5'4", she weighs 104 pounds. She's not overweight,
no,
but her blood pressure was sky high. Well, we did a hair mineral analysis on her, and she had very, very high levels of mercury. She had some dental fillings, and they were leaking mercury into her body. And anyway, make a long story short, if we would have just given her a blood pressure lowering drug, we could have brought that blood pressure down. But we're not addressing the underlying issue.
Yeah, that's
so
true. She's got to get that mercury out of those.
We got that mercury out, and her blood pressure is got down to 110/70, which is for her height and weight, that's an ideal blood pressure.
Yeah, well, in your book, you describe 7 steps to wellness, and why don't you go cover a couple of those, because it's exactly the same message we've been giving recently. We have 4 steps: prayer, exercise, nutrition, and sleep. And
there you go.
You incorporate
I
those
love it.
And a couple others, but it's not just about taking pills or going to the doctor.
You got it. The number one step I think that most people need to take is develop that spiritual connection.
Yeah.
Research is quite clear. People that have faith, that believe in God, they are healthier, happier, they live longer. Now, the greatest way to express spirituality in your life is to express gratitude. The single most important determinant in a person's ability to live long, healthy, and wise is their ability to express gratitude. So learning how to say thank you.
A positive mental attitude, as you say, so much of that depends on gratitude. Be thankful for what you have rather than complaining all the time about what you don't have.
Right, and acknowledging the people around you. I think we all know people that have lived long and that we admire and we respect, and I think if we look for a common thread, we'd see that they live in a tremendous state of grace, and they're very free to give positive messages and appreciation. So that's a key. Those other 3 components, very, very important that you mentioned, eating right, getting a good night's sleep, those are just absolutely critical.
Another point that I really liked was establish positive relationships, because so much of your attitude depends on the people you're around, the people you associate with, and of course you can be a taker or a giver of positive.
Right. Yeah, don't be lonely out there, folks. If you're having trouble with your personal human relationships, get a pet, because the same sort of associations are seen in people have relationships, good relationships with pets. So,
sometimes do better with my dog than I do with people.
Yeah, who doesn't?
Well, how best can people obtain your book? That one I was specifically referring to, What the Drug Companies Won't Tell You and Your Doctor Doesn't Know. Should they go to your website or where can they?
That they can get that book just about anywhere that books are sold. I would recommend that if they're really interested, go to my website, drmurray.com, sign up for my free email newsletter. You can download that book on stress, anxiety, and insomnia. That'll give you a taste of my focus, and we're looking at those really important areas. But you know, if you have other health issues, get either What the Drug Companies Won't Tell You and Your Doctor Doesn't Know, or my larger book, The Encyclopedia of Natural Medicine. And it'll guide you to good health without question.
Well, you've certainly opened my eyes, and I'm sure that of a lot of our listeners. And it's so easy. As you go into middle age and you start getting the aches and pains and your blood pressure readings get higher and, you know, you get more sedentary and it's so easy just to depend on the doctor. And he says, oh, we'll prescribe these two medicines to lower your blood pressure, which the doctor did to me. And then he wanted me to take Lipitor, which I refused for higher cholesterol. But it turns out I'm taking a natural supplement, red yeast rice, which you don't like too well in your book either.
Well, yeah, you know, I think that here's the key. We have to be pragmatic, and we have to get results. And we want to do that as natural as possible and without side effects. So,
you can't just rely on medicine to have good health. All those other elements that you talk about are so important, too.
Absolutely.
And thank you so much for joining us today, and I hope people will go to your website, that's drmurray.com, and learn and get that free download, because that certainly sounds like something that would be worthwhile. Thank you so much for joining us today, Dr. Murray.
My pleasure. Thank you.
You've been listening to Middle Age Can Be Your Best Age, hosted by Roy Richards, an expert on midlife renewal and author of both A Midlife Challenge, Wake Up, and Wake Up, Captain and Crew, Restart Your Engines. You can learn more about Roy and his Middle Age Renewal Training System by visiting his website, middleagerenewal.com.